Everybody has one? Okay. Just want to make sure. I'm impressed that they're all passed out. There's a big pile out? Yeah, no, pass them out so everybody has one or two in their hands, because this is part of the service. We all need palms. Brandon don't have a palm, the poor guy. Well, okay, you have two hands, though. Can you hear me now? I only can pick on Brandon a lot because I've known him for many, many years. Oh my gosh, this is really wild. I'll be honest with you. This last week has been very enjoyable. I have learned so many different things and was in the Word and studying, and I was so excited I didn't know what to preach on. And I struggled because I wanted to show off and say, look at all these things that I've learned. And then I wanted the Holy Spirit to work. And so as I prayed, I feel like I have the message from God. And then this morning, I have an expert that goes through all of my PowerPoints lately. And as she tried to go through my PowerPoint, oh, thank you. I need them too. My computer shut down and froze. And so I'm using Andrew's computer. And I've never seen a PowerPoint look like this, so it's very different. But I'm looking at God is moving. Because multiple things got busy, and I never lost the passion for this service. God has been moving already in this service. And these are going to become interactive pieces in the service. When you see the words in yellow, you're going to stand up and you're going to read them and wave the palms, because you're going to be part of the service. Amen? And if you're not standing up, Jack, I will call your name out. Not you, that one, the little younger one. Okay, I'll include him too. We accept people very easily around here. But why is this Sunday different than others? In fact, one person here was shocked. Oh my gosh, it's Palm Sunday already? And it's hard sometimes in this world with the busyness to realize how fast time ticks away. But what does Palm Sunday mean to you? We know why Palm Sunday happened. We know what happened. Jesus came and he rode on a donkey. And people praised him because they felt he was the coming king. So we know what happened, but what does it mean to you? For them that were of Jewish descent, for them it meant this could be freedom from Rome and restore Israel to the kingdom of the area. And that the healing power, just days earlier, Jesus healed Lazarus. And you know what? We could have an army that Jesus can keep re-healing the people, and we'll have an army that never dies. Just think of some of their minds and the thinking that we are going to be back in control. And this is what the people were thinking, and then they were praising. That they could see Jesus Christ could be the leader, the king, to take them out of the rough times. Let's get ready to pray for this sermon. When I seen this picture, it just grabbed my heart of an innocent baby. Think about this. Do we ever slow down to really pray from our heart, the bottom of our heart, forgetting the worldly things? That's what I'm asking you to do right now, is to pray deeply for this service. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit uses my voice. Was already with me in the learning, and may the Holy Spirit help me teach. But may it be your word of God that reaches the ears here. And may we hear, Lord. May the presence of God teach us your word. May we be transformed by the word that you've given us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I want people to start learning in this church to slow down and pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray with a pure heart. We're going to be studying John 12, 12 through 19. Okay? And so open the Word. And as you open the Word, I want you to know who John is. Who is John? Some of you will know that he's a disciple. Did you realize that John was 8 to 10 years younger than Jesus? And Jesus was about 33? That's why they also had that very close relationship, because Jesus was his mentor, his teacher. What did John do prior to being with Jesus? If you yell out fishermen, because most of them were fishermen, you're correct. And he was a follower. And then John was the only disciple that didn't die a martyr's death. That's important to know. And the reason I believe this is to be true, and this is my own personal belief, is that when Jesus was on the cross and said to John, "Mary, my mother is your mother, take care of her." And I believe that John took care of her and completed one of the commandments, honor your father and mother, and you will live a long life. So young people here, open your ears and hear. Because we have a witness of this, is that John lived out his life. He was picked on, but he didn't die a martyr's death. So let's read this, and it's going to be easier for me to read it off the screen than off this computer here. Maybe not. I lose the last line. So let me try to see if I can read it off this. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palms, branches, and went out to meet him, shouting. This is in yellow. Thank you, Andrew, for standing up. Hosanna, Hosanna. He is blessed is the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Okay, we're going to have to practice this for next time. Okay? The screen is in silver, so I have white on silver, so have compassion on me. Okay? Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. People were shouting this. You can sit down now. They were shouting this aloud. They were praising the King. They were excited. Better than the Minnesota Vikings. Amen. Their king was coming. I do that line just to pick on my wife. But Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, the king is coming, seated on a colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that these things technical difficulties with changing over format. So what would be the word? Because I do not want to use God's word in vain. Who has the word open? Written about him, and that these things had, I don't have any more words. Thank you. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread. Just days before he raised Lazarus, many people, because they had heard that he had performed this, I can't read the word because it's sign. People were coming to follow him. If you watch somebody raise somebody from the dead 3 days, wouldn't you be talking about it? And they're spreading the word that this is a guy that can lead us. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." I bet you the Pharisees were pretty upset. What do you think? They got a good deal going. They're the holy ones. They got a deal going with Rome that they still can be in control. They don't want change. And this Jesus is making a whole problem for us. In fact, in earlier verses, you're going to see that the Pharisees plotted to kill not just Jesus, but Lazarus, I found out. I didn't know that. They wanted to kill Lazarus. You know what? Let's kill him. Then he's not alive anymore. But what are some of the commentaries as I read? They had all kinds of ideas, but this triumphal entry. A lot of the commentaries felt that this is where Christianity started, because it wasn't just preaching, because he was preaching in the synagogues and he was teaching to the Jews. But this is the time where he's coming to die for all. So some felt this is where Christianity starts. And that the crowds have seen miracles. Miracles performed. Lazarus was the big deal, but there was other miracles that the people knew about. In fact, if you went back to John 12, 10 through 11, the chief priests were looking at killing them, as I said, both Jesus and Lazarus, to cover things up. But how could they cover it up when he's in the middle of the limelight? So what did some other eyewitnesses have to say? Because it's always good to see one person's point of view, right? So we just got done seeing John. But what do some other people have to say about it? What about Matthew? In 21, verses 1 through 11, Matthew has more things to say about this. And what about Mark? Mark had more things to say in chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. And what about Luke, the doctor? 19, verses 28 through 44. We are being told by how many eyewitnesses? 4. 4 eyewitnesses have seen this and had different descriptions. Matthew, how many of you knew he was a tax collector? He was probably a little older than Jesus and was one that actually would have been hated by the Jews because he was in friendship with the government in control. And he looks at, he was a disciple. Matthew talked about more about the donkey and about how the cloaks were put over that. I studied and looked at trying to understand what the cloaks meant. And I studied and I studied and I wanted to find all these things. And I went back and even studied what's happened with Stephen. Well, not Stephen, but to study what happened with Paul and Saul, because the cloaks were put at Saul's feet. And I wanted to understand that meeting, and I never found the tie 100% to where I can actually be comfortable preaching about that. But what I did study and I found out is that the cloaks were like wearing a nice suit. Okay? They're the outside beautiful garment. Remember Jacob with the amazing coat? I can see I stepped in something. But looking at the outer garment, it's like taking this jacket off and saying, you know what? I don't want you sitting on that, Jesus, because you're worth every minute of my jacket to sit on there to be your saddle. People were taking out their outer garments. And we're going to find out that when he came into the city, they seen that they were willing to throw down their jackets so that this colt wouldn't even step in the mud. And then they threw down the palm branches. Matthew tells us about all these things. And that the crowd kept growing and people were coming out of the city to come see him. Mark. Mark even has a little bit different account. And he talks about the colt even more. That it's never been ridden. And the details about that. Mark also talks about the cloaks as well. So we're having confirmation on all the things that's happening. We're having 4 eyewitnesses, people that died for Christ. Tell us what happened. And they didn't even realize it themselves. John wrote that they didn't realize that all the things that Jesus was doing was being fulfilled from the Old Testament. I was talking with Andrew in the office, and as we were talking about some of this sermon that we're talking about here. And as I talked to him, he said that the Jews may not realize the leaders that their eyes were kind of closed to what's happening. Because it talked about how Jesus cried as he came into Jerusalem. Because he knew they were dying and going to be dead. Because they couldn't see the glory of Jesus coming because of some of the things they were thinking about was the second coming. They were looking at the second coming and the first coming coming together as one and not fully understanding. And their hearts were hardened, some of them, because they liked the control. The Pharisees liked having the control. They couldn't see that this is Jesus. And Jesus was weeping for them. But those that followed and can see the love within Jesus were raising their palm branches. And in the Word of God, they were yelling, "What? Everybody stand up?" What were they yelling? "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed." Amen. There's another version of it. Because maybe these disciples were not all standing in the same spot. I promise you this. The police asked everybody that's seen an accident what happened. And not all the people come up with the same exact story. And if they did, the police know that it's a conspiracy because they're all lying. Because when you're in different places, you see things from a different angle. As we hear, this is being taught. They might have been standing in a different angle and heard different people. Because they wouldn't say the same thing continuously. It would change. Luke, the doctor. You know, one thing about this, people that are educated, that are really smart, they like writing a lot. They like to show how smart they use. They use bigger words than I do, right? So all these educated people, like Luke is an educated person, he writes with more detail. And he's looking at writing even more about the donkey and about how the disciples went to go get this animal that's never been ridden before. Would you want to ride an animal that's never been ridden before? Not me. Because they aren't going to like it. But this animal was special because it was for the Lord. And they were told that as they untied the donkey to tank the donkey, if somebody asked them a question, "What are you doing?" they were told to say, "This is for the Lord and it'll be returned." And they will let them take it. If somebody came to your house and said, "Doug, I'd like your little sports car convertible. It's going to be used for the Lord. Can I have it?" Now, I know Doug's heart. You know what he'd say? "Here's the keys. Don't put air in the tires." Because he uses different stuff in the tires than normal people. And he'd even tell me, "Do you need some money for gas?" But most of us would say, "What? You're hearing from God and you want my car?" But the Lord knew. And Jesus knew. And Luke, as he came through, talks about how the Mount of Olives and how it got the road became narrow in different passages that the Bible reads. And that's where the people started following. They followed a long ways. How many of you are willing to walk a few blocks for Jesus? Amen. I know some of you do. Some people just gave out 200 flyers for the Easter breakfast, and I'm praying that more people come. And looking at this, how much did they walk to walk alongside? They wanted to see what was going to happen. Is Jesus going to walk into that temple and strike them down? They were looking at this. But in verse 44, and this is in fine print, it says, "They will dash you to the ground, and you and the children within your walls, they will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Why is 44 so important that Luke writes? Because this is what Jesus said. No stone will be on top of each other. Okay? Could you believe that 40 some years later, to the day that Jesus said this, that the temple was destroyed? And what happened is, some commentaries feel that Israel started it on fire so that they couldn't have it. And the gold, as the fire was there, and the adornments melted. And when they melted, where did they melt into? Is the cracks of the bricks. So they wanted to retrieve the gold. So the Roman government broke apart the bricks to get the gold. So not one brick was left together. Just think, Jesus said this, and it came true to the exact day. Isn't that concerning to some people to think that the Word of God only proves to be true every time you read it? What are the odds of some of this happening? How do people not understand that God is in control when you read this book and it's never lied or told a lie against each other, against itself? It's proven to be true at all times. But get ready. This is what Luke had to say. Amen. That's the best one we did. I guess it's better for me not to speak. But think about that. They were so excited that they're jumping for joy. They're throwing their jackets, the nicest thing they owned. This isn't my work clothes I'm throwing down. These are the nice clothes I'm willing to throw down for Jesus. And what he promised was, you don't understand it. You don't get it. I'm asking you over this next week to open the Word of God. To read this next week what's going to be happening. They took a man that they praised and then they crucified him. And in 1 week we'll be praising that he rose for our sins. They were crying out to Jesus, and he cried out for them. He cried out because they were the lost. They didn't see him. They didn't accept him. The truth is, I will not lie to any one of you. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are going to where? Hell. Thank you for being very clear on that. There is no purgatory. There is no middle place. The Bible never talks about it. The truth is, you're going to hear one of two things when you go to see Jesus. Jesus is going to invite you in. You're going to hear one of two things. Well done, my faithful servant. I will be a bawling baby. My wife knows I cry easily. Just think of God saying that to you. Good job. Just think of your own father saying that to you. When my father said that to me, it really made me feel good. Good job, my faithful son, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of my boys. And I have multiple boys. I got a whole row of them right over there because Andrew's my boy, Brandon's my boy, because you accept them because God has let you work within their lives. Paul's my boy. He actually calls me dad. But you look at this. Jesus is crying for the lost. Because if you don't hear, good job, my faithful servant, what you're going to hear is, away from me, I never knew you. Where do you think the away from me is? Hell. So think about this. This week is a very big week. It's where Christianity starts, some of the commentaries say. It's the week to think about where Christ was persecuted. He was beaten. And it was fulfilled that he was the perfect sacrifice. His body and blood was the perfect sacrifice. And he was the only one that could be the high priest to talk to God on our behalf. Because the rest of us are full of sin. So open the Word of God this week. Love him. Let him speak to you. And then Invite people to Easter morning and love on them. Tell them, you know what? I was telling one of the ladies here in the church. My pastor is willing to make breakfast for you. Because I tell people, you know, when I'm going to make food for my family, it's like this. Toot, 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 toot. Hello, can I order? I'm not a very good cook in my house. But just think about this. The house of God is going to be willing to cook for you Easter morning. Bring your family. Bring your friends. It's a time that where we can share breakfast together and we can praise together what has happened. He has risen next week. So come back and hear it again. Can the worship team please come forward to lead us in prayer and in worship? Prepare your hearts to worship. Forget all the things that are happening in your life. Truly, forget about things that are happening. Forget where you need to be in 10 minutes, because it doesn't matter. Stop and worship the Lord. Read the words. Listen to the words and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And you want to hear another miracle? We had a lot to cover today. We had a lot of things to cover. And the Holy Spirit, I believe, is here because we're ending on time. Amen? So let the Lord speak to you.